Okay, take your Bible, please. Find the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. I want to read a portion of Scripture here in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew and then bring the message I feel the Lord to have me to share tonight. Matthew, chapter 15. We'll begin the reading with verse 21. Matthew 15 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, I want to talk to you from this portion of the Word of God, but especially zero in on this text, these three words in verse 27. Truth, Lord, yet. Truth, Lord, yet. Now I'm fully convinced that you and I are finding ourselves in that Laodicean church period, where the average person that comes to church, and I'm talking about independent, Baptist, Bible-believing, fundamental, missionary-minded churches, the average person that attends a church of that persuasion has this attitude: I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And we don't know that we're wretched and poor and blind and miserable and naked. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm searching high and low to find ways to keep myself stirred up to do something for God in this hour and in these days. And I'm encouraged when I read the Word of God and I run across a story like I've read in your hearing tonight. Here's a woman that encourages me. She took hold of the Lord and she held on till she got what she wanted. And certainly in this hour, we need somehow to stir ourselves up to take hold of God. What is prayer? Prayer is nothing less than taking hold of God. Isaiah 64 and verse 7, God said, And there is none that calls upon me. There is none that stirs himself up to take hold of me. And that's what we need to do. Now, here in this portion of Scripture, if you want to really get some humorous thoughts, I mean, funny, if you think being pathetic is funny, you ought to read some of the commentaries and let them try to explain away how the Lord Jesus dealt with this woman. It said of the Lord Jesus by one in the gospel records that he did all things well. And the Lord Jesus knew exactly what every individual needed that came to him with a need. And the Lord Jesus treated this woman just as she needed to be treated. He never made a mistake. He knoweth our frame. And if you want to know how to deal with people, if you're trying to serve God and point others to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, if you want to know how to deal with people and work with people, read how the Lord Jesus dealt with people. He didn't deal with any two people the same way. You know, I'm fully convinced that we're in the condition we're in this hour because of shallow evangelism, because we've taken people down the Romans road, we've rubber stamped them into the kingdom of God, as it were. We've got them to believe some things, at least intellectually, about all sinning and coming short of the glory of God, and none doing good, no, not one, and God loving us, and the Lord Jesus dying for us, and confessing with our mouth Him, and believing that God hath raised Him from the dead. We know the verses, and we've dealt with people, but we haven't dealt with them where they are. And the Son of God always dealt with a person where they were, and He took them where they needed to go. Now, there are three things, briefly, I want you to look with me at in this portion of the Word of God tonight. Now, first of all, in this portion of Scripture, we have an actively concerned soul. An actively concerned soul. Here's a needy woman. The Lord Jesus has just recently come into her area about Tyre and Sidon, and she hears that He's in the neighborhood. And she's concerned about her daughter. So concerned that she could not sit still. Verse number 22. The Bible said she came out, and she came out searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. She's actively concerned, and she cannot sit still, nor can she keep silent. The Bible says she cried out to Him, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I've got a daughter grievously vexed of the devil." Now, if you asked the Christian in this hour, are you concerned? 99% of them would probably tell you, yes, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the spiritual condition of the churches in this hour. I'm concerned about myself. I'm concerned about others. I'm concerned about the lost. I'm concerned about some lost, even in my own immediate family. Some of my loved ones, my relatives that are lost, I'm concerned, but the majority are not actively concerned. I do believe that there were other mothers who had daughters and sons who had a need in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. I believe there were other people that had needs and they were concerned, but they evidently were not actively concerned. They may have sat home and wrung their hands and prayed some little puny prayer to God and didn't expect much really in return, just thought maybe they're going to have to live with it the rest of their lives, hoping against hope that maybe God will do something. But thank God there was one who got up. She came to the Son of God. And she began to cry out to Him and to cry after His disciples. She wanted help. She needed help. And you know, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at myself and I'm amazed at you. I mean, the situation is so desperate. And yet we never get concerned enough to even get up in a church service and find ourselves on our knees in the front down here weeping over our own selves and our need, over our children who are going to hell, over our sons, our daughters, our brothers, our sisters. Here's a soul who is actively concerned. And then in the midst of this, we see a Savior who's apparently callous. A Savior who is apparently callous. He's indifferent. Verse 23, he answered her not a word. He wouldn't talk to her. He's indifferent. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I've got a daughter at home grievously vexed with the devil. And he just acts as though he doesn't care. He doesn't hear. He's indifferent to her cry. And then, when he does reply, he insults her. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He makes her wait for a reply, and then when he does reply, he wounds her. Here's a Savior who is apparently callous. Do you ever pray and you wonder if God even hears? Do you ever find yourself on your face in that secret place, broken in heart, aching in body, and the heavens seem like brass? Oh, what an awful, awful feeling and condition to find yourself in. And here's a poor little mother who's made a trip. I don't know how long or how arduous the journey, but she comes. She casts herself upon the mercy of the dear Son of God. And he acts as though he doesn't care. He's silent, and then when he speaks, he just insults her. He calls her a dog. How would you like the Lord Jesus to call your mother a dog? Your wife a dog? Your daughter a dog? Here's a Savior who's apparently callous. But then, thank God, here's a statement that is all-conquering. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I believe there is just a little bit of hypocrisy in this woman when she first comes to the Lord Jesus. In verse 22, she said there, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. She's not part of God's covenant people. She's a Canaanite. She's a Gentile. She's a Syro-Phoenician by nation, Mark says. Do you reckon she's trying to fool the Lord? Do you reckon she's trying to get the Lord Jesus to believe that he owes her something? That she deserves something? Do you know that's your problem? That's your problem. You think the world owes you something. And even beyond that, you feel God owes you. I don't know how you got him indebted to you, but you feel that he owes you. And I do believe that there's just a bit of hypocrisy here. And she's trying to pass herself off as one of God's covenant people. And the Lord answers her not a word. Oh, you're going to have to come clean to God. Oh, my soul. I'm going to have to come clean with God. Have you noticed? It's hard to pray in that secret place.
Oh, the pastor can call on me to pray here, and I'll get up and pray a little prayer of some sort, you know, but... Oh, you can... The flesh can pray in church. But that flesh won't pray in private. That flesh won't pray there. There's nothing for it to feed on. Nothing for it to feed on. Oh, my soul. You got to come clean with God in that secret place. There's a bit of hypocrisy here, I think, but then, thank God, there's honesty. And she says, Lord, you don't owe me. In verse 25, she just drops all that and she just comes and worships Him and she says, Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know any flattering titles for you. Lord, help me. Lord, I need help. And then He makes that reply, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And then in verse 27, she just says, truth, Lord, I am a dog. She felt and she confessed her own unworthiness. Oh, she knew she is a dog. She had heard sin bark often and loudly in the depths of her soul. And there was nothing the Lord Jesus could say to her that's going to put her off. She realized and acknowledged she had no hold on God. That she's no better than a dog. Truth, Lord. Lord, I'm worthless. Lord, I'm undeserving. Truth, Lord. Yet, I agree with you, Lord, yet, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Oh, this tells me something about this woman. She thought well of the Lord Jesus. In spite of how He acted, in spite of what He said to her, she still felt that He'd do the right thing. And she said, if an earthly master takes the crumbs that the children leave behind and casts it under the table to the little dogs, surely, Lord, You'll respond to me and You'll do for me what I'm asking. Because, Lord, all I really need is a crumb. When I think about Your power, Your might, Your wealth, all I need, Lord, is a little crumb. I believe it was David Livingstone that said, ask little of men and expect less. Ask much of God and expect more. Oh, we ought to expect great things from God. We ought to expect from the Lord not because He owes us, but because of who He is. You see, she got past that business of the Lord doing something for her because she deserved it, and she got to the point where she was trusting Him to do something because of who He is. Thank God who He is. He's a loving, merciful, gracious Heavenly Father. And this is His dear Son. And will His dear Son act contrary to the Father? No, by no means. She thought well of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I've heard people, and I'm sure you have too, and they've complained and they've gotten bitter because of things that have happened and how God has treated them. And I don't know why God allowed this to happen. I don't deserve this. But somehow, by the grace of God, I believe I can say in my own heart tonight that if the Lord never does another thing for me, I have no room for murmuring. I have no room for complaining. Oh, listen. In spite of all that the Lord had done in ignoring her and insulting her, she still had a right attitude about Him. And I want to maintain that attitude. I don't know what I'm going to experience in this life as I keep traveling in the straight and the narrow way, but I want to trust my Lord more and more. I want to think well of Him, and I want to think less of myself. Less of myself. And that's what happened here. She thought less of herself. And she didn't look in herself for some reason whereby God ought to bless her, but she looked for something out of His own mouth. And when He said something about the dogs, immediately, she thought about the crumbs. She is able to see the silver lining. You know, some folks can see a black cloud on a clearless day, or a cloudless day, I mean. You know, Elijah saw, he had that servant of his go look until he saw a cloud arise about the size of a man's hand. Well, I've met a lot of Baptist folks that when things are going wonderfully well, they can see a dark cloud even smaller than that. And oh, I tell you, I'm pessimistic enough in my own self, just naturally. I don't need to be around people like that. Give me somebody, Lord, bring people into my life that though everything looks hopeless, they can see a silver lining in that dark cloud. They can see a ray of hope. And thank God there is hope. There's hope. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I've found any hope at all here. If the Lord Jesus had done me the way He's doing her, I don't know that I'd have found any hope. I'd have probably got so offended when He called me a dog that I'd have tucked my tail between my legs and scurried off. But oh, that just made her cling that much more determinedly. Truth, Lord! Yet! There it is. There it is. Oh, Lord, You're speaking the truth. I am a wicked, vile sinner, but You came into the world to save sinners. Lord, I'm polluted head to foot, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Lord, I'm dead in my trespasses and in my sins, but thank God, You're the resurrection and You're the life. Listen, there's a lot of bad news in this book. Thank God there's a ray of hope. There's hope here. There's hope. She found something to encourage herself. Oh, you better learn to do that. It's not going to get any better. Folks, I hope God really breathes on us here at Calvary as we get ready for this camp meeting. I hope God really does for us. I'm praying for myself, praying for my family, my pastor, this church. But oh, listen, it's not going to get any easier and it's not going to get any better by and large. No, it's not. But thank God there's still hope and there's still a blessing. She got what she came for. She got what she came for. When she came, the situation was desperate. And the more she confronted the Lord Jesus and the more she talked to His followers, the more desperate and hopeless it seemed. But somehow, her faith, she never wavered. James said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. She didn't waver. And the Son of God was forced to confess, oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Do you want the Lord to do something for you? Oh, there are some things. Oh, that God's got to do for me. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you what. I don't believe I can live. I don't believe I can continue. I'm not talking about physically. But I'm talking about spiritual things that God must do for me and for mine. Did you hear me? I'm not hoping that He will. He must do it. You say you're going to order God around? No, I can't order the Lord around. But I'm not going to turn loose of Him. No, I'm not going to turn loose. Oh, I found encouragement here. Here's a little Gentile woman. She's not in covenant relationship with the Lord. But she has such a faith that she gets what she came after. Shall I, a child of the Heavenly Father, shall I, a sinner saved by grace, who's received the Spirit of adoption and been made to cry from the depths of my soul, Abba, Father? Shall I be denied? If the dogs get crumbs and she got them, how much more shall the children be fed with the finest that the Lord can serve up on His table? Do you want God to do something? Are you rich and increased with good? And have the attitude that you need nothing? Oh, may God stir your heart. If that's where you are, may God stir your heart. Till you repent and ask the Lord to help you. But if you do sense a deep need in your own soul, you do sense an earnest desire that God has put in you for the salvation of others, just hang on to God. Hold on. And whatever you do, don't be still. And don't be silent. And don't give God any rest until you get what you so earnestly desire down deep in your heart. Now, I don't want to fuss at you. I don't want to fuss at you. God knows I don't want to fuss at you and berate you. But listen, friend, how can you come to this place and sit and listen to the Word of God preached and never be stirred to move? Never be stirred to cry out, "Oh Lord, I've got a daughter. Oh Lord, I've got a son. Oh Lord, I've got a brother. I've got a sister. Oh Lord, I got a loved one. And the devil is having his way. I've got to have your help, Lord. I've got to have your help." Truth, Lord, yet. And that yet got her what she came after. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for speaking to my own heart. Oh, Lord, I pray again that Thou wilt stir us in these days.
that we might take hold of Thee and Thy strength for the salvation of precious souls for whom we burdened. And Lord, for what we need so desperately in our own lives, oh Lord, stir us. Begin with me and stir every heart. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen.